It's Living on Earth. I'm Steve Curwood. That loud, raucous trumpet called the vuvuzela dominated the soundtrack of World Cup soccer in South Africa in 2010. This year in Brazil, the Ministry of Sports promoted a different noisemaker. The cacharola, a small plastic shaker, was unveiled as an environmental symbol by Brazil's president, Dilma Rousseff.
Esse fato que nós estamos falando de plástico verde de país.
This green and yellow image of the cacharola, this fact that we are talking about a green plastic, about a country that has led the world in sustainability, and at the same time, it's an object capable of doing two things, combining images with sounds and taking us to our goals.
But the cacharola turned out to be an effective missile for angry fans, and the objects have been banned from the matches. Thousands, if not millions, of cacharolas were made, and now they serve as a symbol of wasteful excess spending. That's much the same criticism leveled against the massive stadia erected in cities like Manaus, where their value is unclear once the World Cup's over, while promised infrastructure and transport improvements for the country have yet to be built. But Brazil still has something to celebrate. Along with the World Cup, there's news of recent success in protecting forests. Brazil used to clear nearly 8,000 square miles of rainforest every year, an area the size of Massachusetts. But since 2005, the rate of deforestation has dropped 70%. Now it's about 2,000 square miles, the size of Delaware. Keeping that forest standing prevents 3.2 billion tons of carbon dioxide from entering the atmosphere, about 2 years' worth of emissions from all cars and light trucks in the U.S. Dan Nepstad, the executive director and founder of Earth Innovation Institute, says several factors explain Brazil's success in cutting deforestation.
There's a really fascinating story here about how big industries like soy industries and meatpacking companies came together with non-governmental organizations to basically work out a deal so that soybeans grown on fields that had been cleared after a cutoff date, July 2006, would no longer be acceptable. This is called the soy moratorium. And it started with a Greenpeace campaign that targeted some McDonald's stores in Europe and really put Cargill and McDonald's and other groups like that up against the wall. More recently, in 2009, there was something called the cattle agreement. Not quite as many companies involved, but once again, companies wanting to be protected from the reputational risk of buying from farmers who might be clearing forests and therefore vulnerable to the sort of attacks that Greenpeace does.
Now, the government took another approach directly with growers. Tell me about the government's blacklist, please.
The deforestation blacklist basically said, listen, if your county is clearing more than 40 square kilometers of rainforest every year, then your farmers can no longer access the big public agricultural credit programs. One farmer who's clearing a lot of forest, that farmer puts the entire county at risk of losing its access to credit. In some countries, that wouldn't be a big deal, but Brazil makes $50 billion available to its farmers every year through credit. When that policy was put in place, suddenly all of these counties started to organized, and the mayor's office got together with the beef sector, with the soy sector, and they said, let's fix this problem. And they did it through collective action. About 11 of the 36 blacklisted counties have come off the list. They've gotten their deforestation below that 40 square kilometer threshold.
The Brazilian Amazon's huge, and the government has, what, some 400 federal agents to patrol the area to see that there's not improper deforestation going on. How does that work?
They've developed some really amazing approaches. One is these hot spots that appear on the MODIS satellite sensor that are indicative of deforestation sets up a whole alert system, and sometimes a helicopter full of armed men will go out to a big deforestation clearing and grab people and put them in handcuffs. The trick there, though, is who owns that land. You know, it's been very difficult. You know, everyone knows when the helicopters are coming or the jeeps on the ground, and often those teams of workers will scatter into the bush. And that's why another innovation is equally important, if not more important. It's called the Rural Environmental Registry. Basically, it says that If you own land, you've got to submit the perimeters of your property to the government. It means that if you can see on the map, oh, here's a new patch of deforestation, you see whose land that deforestation took place on. And then you can cut them off from credit, even embargo their property, meaning that it's illegal for them to sell whatever they're producing on that farm. So the instruments for enforcement are really getting much more powerful.
Now, the overall trend in Brazil over the last 8 years or so has been this 70% reduction in the deforestation rate. But over the last year or so, that deforestation has increased. Why are more trees being cut down? How many more and why?
We tend to think of Brazil and we think of the Amazon and not its shorter brother to the south, or sister maybe is a better way to put that, called the Cerrado. These are the woodlands and the savannas and native grasslands. Since 2010, deforestation has begun to inch back up in the Cerrado. And I think part of what we're seeing there is because these voluntary supply chain interventions of cutting farmers of soy or beef off from markets, those have really been focused on the Amazon. They haven't yet been applied to the Cerrado. So I think we're getting to a point now where we need to expand and build upon the success in the Amazon to have a truly national agenda.
Dan Nepstad, how important is it to the government of Brazil to be seen positively when it comes to tackling deforestation, especially in light of hosting the World Cup right now?
It's fascinating to me how little the Brazilian government has made of the fact that they've reduced deforestation 70% and have reduced emissions more than any other country. Brazil really could very legitimately say to the world, we're not just the best in soccer, we're the best in agricultural growth, but we're also doing our part to keep forests standing, protect indigenous lands, and greatly lower greenhouse gas emissions.
Dan Nepstad is executive director and founder of Earth Innovation Institute and one of the authors of the article on deforestation in Brazil in the current issue of Science. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Steve.